morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning, friends. Hello. Glad to be with you on this Monday, November 23rd. Trusting that you had a fantastic weekend. Want to give a shout out to all of you that stopped by over the weekend. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Monday and every day. I'm Stacy Ann, and we had a fantastic supermarket Saturday. Many of you stopped in and brought a wonderful, wonderful non-perishable items to Salvation Army, and we are teaming together with them to make sure that through this holiday season, and certainly a good start to next year, that we have the resources to meet the food insecure needs of the individuals around our Willamette Valley and throughout, you know, this region. When we think about all of the things that we have been through this particular year, it was really interesting talking to Jason, and he's been doing this for about 6 years now, working at Salvation Army, and just the unique needs, particularly because of the fire and then COVID and the unemployment. Now folks are laid off again, and it was just a really eye-opening weekend for me, and it was so incredible to connect with so many of you coming in, bringing in what you could, telling me your story. It was really a fun adventure, and I thank those of you as you listen and you connect and you're sending me emails or you're leaving me voice messaging. If you don't have or don't use the computer, don't trust using the computer, I appreciate that. And it was a wonderful time. Now, you may or may not know this, and certainly we didn't make a big deal about it. I made a choice not to make a big deal about it on social media or really in the news. But within 10 minutes of arriving there at Safeway on Center Street, which is just a few blocks away from the Capitol, we were all just getting ready to go on live at 10 o'clock in the morning, and we were all right there in the car, the KSLM, if you've seen our cute little KSLM car that's completely wrapped in an American flag and KSLM lettering all over it. It was right parked out front. I mean, I would say maybe 20 steps away, you can go inside the door there. And within 15 minutes of my arrival with the car, someone had wrote with a paint pen on the side, Black Lives Matters on the side of it, and then on the back of it. And one of the employees of Safeway saw him. He scattered, but not enough of a witness to really have the police do anything about it. And it just really, it really bothered me. It bothered me in the fact that, you know, the continual bullying and harassment, the defacement of property. And here we are, a conservative radio station, working together with Salvation Army to help the community. And these folks seem to always get away with their destructive behavior. And that because we didn't have somebody identified enough or camera footage that we could get our hand on, the police can't even respond. And it is definitely a problem, and it is the struggle is real. There are people out there that want to cause, I call them agitators. They just want to cause trouble. And I don't see how it furthers the cause. I don't know how that is really social justice and really making a difference. But it certainly was something negative that happened, and I don't like to focus on the negative, but it is real. The beautiful thing is, I was so excited. The store there at Safeway, there's such great people there. And Terry Saul's wife, love Patty, they found some graffiti scrub, some sort of magical scrub, because we tried to wash it off with other things. And the scrub took it off. And so our car is graffiti free. And I'm thankful for that. So that was definitely an answer to prayer. And so that was kind of an eventful little weekend. And certainly we need to keep ramping up the prayers and keep aware and keep information, keep the facts, not be in fear, not be bullied, but know that we need to keep telling the truth. We need to keep advocating for the truth. And it's so important that we ask good questions. And one of the questions I developed through the weekend was this: where is Kate Brown? I'm curious because there's rumor, a lot of people are speculating that she may be in Hawaii right now with a group of legislators and leaders from Washington and Oregon and California, some kind of summit in Hawaii when all of us are on lockdown. It'll be interesting to see over the next few days if it's confirmed if she's traveled or not, but it's kind of like, where's Waldo? People want to know where Governor Kate Brown is. And that's, I just throw that out there. If somebody knows, I certainly would like to know myself. And as we continue to look at the statistics on what's happening in COVID, when I pull up the Statesman Journal today, maybe you caught wind of this over the weekend, but they're going to take a reset or relook at how they, being the Oregon Health Authority and those that are monitoring the statistics here in Oregon, which we've long questioned, because at some point, and they can't tell me exactly at what point, because I've called and talked to their press folks a few times on the numbers, at some point they stopped counting confirmed cases and they put presumed cases together. And so it's all kind of muddled. And now we're hearing that they're not real sure about how the capacity of tests and how they're tracking. And now with over 1,500 new confirmed or suspected COVID cases announced on Saturday and 7 more deaths, that's bringing the death toll to 819. You know, there are a lot of questions. There's more questions than answers. And now they're looking at ways that they're tracking the tests. I thought, man, it's really important that we find out and discuss and talk to people who really know statistics. They really know the science, because we keep hearing that they're following the science and that's how they're basing our lockdown, right? And it's really important that we all track and understand the science, but it seems like it's conflicting and we don't quite understand the science. And I want to remind you why it's important that we have an understanding. Listen to this.
Preparations immediately and be in full compliance by next Wednesday. In terms of individuals, I am not asking you, I am telling you. To stop your social gatherings, your informal social gatherings, and your house parties, and to limit your social interactions to 6 and under, not more than 1 household, and I'm asking that immediately. I will take stronger legal action as appropriate. I've already directed the superintendent of state police to begin to work with local law enforcement to legally enforce the informal social gathering orders.
So as we move towards Thanksgiving, that is the order from Kate Brown, and she's basing it off of the numbers, the increasing numbers, and the science. But what I keep maintaining is the public trust is going down, and people aren't trusting the numbers. People aren't trusting these press conferences anymore. They're like, I don't know what to believe. And when we don't understand the numbers, we don't understand the terminology. When the messaging is conflicting, we just kind of back off and say, I don't trust it. And so based on the lack of trust, then we don't move forward in ways that are preventative and really making a difference as a community. All concerned citizens calls for healing through restored trust. This is a press release, and it's going to lead into our guest coming up. I want to share this with you. Multidisciplinary professionals united as all concerned citizens has uncovered a Centers for Disease Control rule change regarding how physicians nationwide shall record COVID-19 death certificates. The March 24th rule change decreed that the National Vital Statistics Systems and published by CDC forced all medical examiners, coroners, and physicians to significantly change how death certificates shall be recorded exclusively for COVID-19 and without federal oversight or stakeholder input. The new rule change superseded 17 years of death certificate recording guidance and has in effect drastically inflated the COVID-19 death toll. Dr. Henry Ely is a lead researcher and spokesperson for all concerned citizens. Dr. Ely calls for the healing of the nation through transparency. On the air with me this morning, I am very proud to introduce to you, hello, Dr. Henry, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Stacy. Thank you for having me. I've been listening in. This is fantastic. I'm just really excited to be here.
Well, my understanding is you're in the Portland area, right? And so you're
correct.
Familiar with what's going on in here in Oregon, and your background is impressive. You have been involved in the medical field for a while. Why don't you rather me read it? You tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I've been in the medical field for over 20 years, and I've been a really staunch advocate for for natural medicine and the power that it can be when it's used properly. So much so that I have been very fortunate in starting a school, the Energetic Health Institute, where we focus and develop folks who are eligible to become board certified as holistic nutritionists and really show the world what natural medicines with something simple things like vitamin A and vitamin D you know, can do to make such a big difference, especially in a crisis like this. But what's so interesting is that this is a crisis of data integrity and not a crisis of medical reality. And I think that's something that our findings are over 10,000 hours of collective research has really unearthed, and we want to share with your audience today.
You've really hit a nerve there in a sense, because so many people, the public trust is really diminished. I mean, we just we don't even know what to believe anymore. And there, a lot of people are calling it a hoax. Now, I don't believe the virus is a hoax, but certainly the manipulation of the numbers and the response has been. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Oh, absolutely. And thank you for giving me this opportunity to do so. Well, when we look at the data, you know, one of the things that we have, I'm an old data analyst. Before I was a doctor, I was a database developer on the International Space Station project.
And, wonderful.
We have a saying in data, and that is garbage in equals garbage out.
Mm.
If you give us bad data, the answer you're going to get is going to be bad. You know, it just stands to reason. So I used some of my old data analysis techniques, and I brought on a bunch of folks, statisticians and certified death reporting clerks, and of course physicians and attorneys and people who really know what they're doing. And we all kind of came together, a completely volunteer effort from a variety of backgrounds. And I was listening to your commentary on the Black Lives Matter vandalism, you know, which just has me shaking my head in disbelief. I've seen some ridiculous things this year with that organization, not with the philosophy of it, but with the actual organization. There's just rampant problems, you know, with it and everything. And what comes out for me is that, you know, we look at this situation and you have to get down to how was the data collected? Because that's really the key. And our research brought up two very important documents. One was on March 24th, and that was a document that was issued by the National Vital Statistics System, which falls under the CDC.
Dr. Henry, we're going to go to a break here in just a few seconds. Hold that thought. Stay on the line, and we'll get into more of it as we come back. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Monday. We're looking at the data, the numbers. How do they line up? And what can we do to be responsible and stay healthy as we move through the next few weeks? Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. News that you can use on this Monday and every day. 45 degrees at the KSLM studio, going to be about 49 degrees. We'll see rain throughout today. And as we move towards Thanksgiving and the weekend, it looks like the sun will be peeking out on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Temperatures in the high 40s, low 50s. So if you're planning on doing some sort of excursion, you know, I don't know, they're kind of discouraging going, you know, through the woods to grandma's house. But I hear a lot of people are still planning on getting together with family, and they're not too concerned necessarily of the threats of getting in trouble from Governor Brown. But certainly we want to stay mindful And we really want to do the right thing. And on the air, I have with me Dr. Henry. And Dr. Henry, I want to say, on this show, since March when I started, I've had periodically, almost monthly, maybe every other week or so, someone on the air talking with mm-hmm. me about how we can equip ourselves naturally to fight this virus. What can we mm-hmm. do, taking personal responsibility in our health, making sure that food, we're eating healthy, we're not eating in a stress-filled way, that we're equipping our body with the natural vitamins, minerals, nutrients that we need to stay healthy and build our immune system. And so I'm delighted to have you on the air. I know that your background as a naturopathic doctor and that you're teaching in a major university and you're helping with people in your day-to-day life, it only makes sense that you would be in the data helping us understand. So go again through that. You started right before the break on how you kind of grabbed this data and started looking at us. Go ahead and tell us more.
Well, the basic thing that we want the audience to really understand is that the CDC really seized control of the data and started to manipulate it, and that began way back on March 24th. And what they did was they issued an edict that dramatically changed how death certificates were going to be reported, and only for COVID, which was a little bit, you know, raised an eyebrow, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What they essentially did was they said, you know, when we reported, for the last 17 years, we've reported death certificates as if you have a pre-existing condition that goes in part one, and then whatever initiated it, let's say somebody got the flu and that was the kind of final domino, the last straw,
mm-hmm.
that would be put maybe in part one, but at the bottom.
Hmm.
What they said was, you know what, we're going to change that for COVID. We're going to now say if you had pre-existing conditions, we're going to put those in part two, which are not really statistically counted. And what we're going to do in its place is list COVID in part one exclusively. And in listing COVID exclusively, we don't even need to have confirmation of a positive test or symptomatology, which is exactly the opposite of how medicine is supposed to be practiced in infectious diseases. When we look at infectious diseases, there are really three key factors we have to get to what's called a definitive diagnosis in medicine. The first thing is we have to have symptoms. We never test people unless there's symptoms.
You know? Right, right.
That's the first thing. The second thing is that we, in a case of a suspected virus, we have what's called a viral load test. And that tells us how much the virus is actually in the bloodstream. So it's a definitive. You know, if there's mm-hmm. if there's viral particles present in the bloodstream, you're contagious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's pretty cut and dry. But then the third thing we do to confirm it is an antibody test, an IgM and IgG antibody test. And that tells us where someone is in terms of their contagious process. Are they at the beginning, IgM, or are they at the end, IgG? And it's those three things that are so crucial in medicine to determining, is this person really sick? But that's not what we've done here. We've done just the opposite. We said if you get tested with this PCR testing that we know is at least 50% inaccurate, if you get tested and it shows up positive there, you got COVID. Well, that's not true. And that's another layer to this deception, this mm-hmm. crisis of data integrity. So if you basically flub and kind of cook the books on the death certificates, you can make them look a lot, the death total look a lot bigger than it is, which they did and are doing. And if you play around with the testing, you can make people seem more contagious and that this is more rampant than it really is, which they're doing right now. And then there's one other thing that I want your audience to know, and this was the big thing for me. On April 14th, the CDC adopted guidelines from a nonprofit organization. So the CDC outsourced the rules for data collection, the developing of rules for data collection. The CDC, a buildings filled with PhD upon PhD, epidemiologist upon epidemiologist, for some reason outsourced all of their rules for data collection regarding COVID-19 to an organization called the Council for State and Territorial Epidemiologists, the CSTE.
Hmm.
And in the document that they adopted, which was so interesting, this document created the opportunity for contact tracing and things like this. This document, Stacy, actually says if you cough once, you can be counted as COVID positive.
Oh,
no
boy.
No other symptoms necessary. Just cough once. COVID, right?
Incredible. Yes, that's not science-based at all.
Oh, my goodness, no. Right?
Imagine that.
What blew me away was on page 6 of this document, section 7B, and this is public record. People can go and look this up. What the CDC adopted was a clear statement by the CSTE that says, we are not going to define a way to ensure that the same person isn't counted multiple times.
Wow.
So what that just sent off, that's like an 8 alarm fire for me, you know, and I'm like going, wait, what? How is this possible? How can you decline to define a method to make sure the same person isn't counted over and over and over and over again? You know, that's just, this is statistics 101, and they completely blew it right there. But but when you look at it, it goes, well, what would happen if we keep counting the same person over and over and over again? It allows us to turn up and turn down the dial on this whenever we want.
Mm.
It allows us to change the numbers whenever we want. And I find it very interesting that someone as accomplished as a Dr. Fauci is going to predict that this is going to be even worse come the winter. If this is so unknown and we don't know about this brand new virus and things like this, and it's so atypical and asymptomatic carriers and all this other nonsense, can you please explain to me how you could predict that?
Interesting. We're going to go to break here and we're going to continue the conversation, Dr. Henry, after this. Man, I'm on the edge of my chair, friends. I don't know about you, but we're going to get down to the facts on how to look at the numbers. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We'll be back after this. Hello, good morning. How you doing? It's a good morning. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. And yes, we're based out of Salem, Oregon, but we have listeners all over the country. Hello to you in Arizona, Texas, South Dakota, Arkansas, and right here in the Pacific Northwest. And if you're listening and maybe you're even overseas, let us know. Send me an email, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at KSLM.news. And if you have an idea, too, and want to nominate a nonprofit for us to feature as we move towards the holiday season, we want to feature our nonprofits in the area that have certainly been impacted by the shutdown, the lockdown, and all of their fall fundraising that they would do to help those in need has been certainly a challenge. And I think about all of the folks that are using online ways of fundraising, like Canyon View Horse Camp. I call it Horse Camp. They have all kinds of camps, but I went there as a kid, and they're doing an online type of fundraiser. And so we want to remember our nonprofits. And if you have one that you like, certainly let me know by sending an email. I want to thank our show sponsor for today, Bill Sunderland with Country Financial Sunderland Agency. You can get a hold of Bill for your insurance and financial planning needs by giving him a call, 503-885-0789. And you can find him at SunderlandAgency.com. We're talking this morning with Dr. Henry. He's out of the Portland area, and he has really had an opportunity to dig in and look at the numbers. When we talk about the COVID infection rate and the spread and all the things we could do, because back in March, remember, friends, we were told, let's you know, lock down to flatten the curve and do all of these things. And even looking at the Statesman Journal this morning, And giving the numbers and stating over the weekend there was 1,500 in one day, the most ever cases, but it says presumed, it's not confirmed. And so it's very gray, you don't really know. And right now we're not allowed to have more than 25 people in church. The retail stores are cut down to 75%, bars and restaurants are closed. And when you start looking down below, at the very bottom of this article, they start talking about the deaths. And it's very interesting. And Dr. Henry, I have a question about this. And I have a couple questions about our Oregon Health Authority as well that I want to ask you. But it's very interesting based on what you told us in the last segment and how they're reporting the death certificates. It's very interesting because it says here there was an 83-year-old Jackson County man who tested positive November 10th and died on November 20th at his residence. The presence of underlying conditions was being confirmed. And that's how they reported that to us. You know, what has been your interaction with OHA and Dr. Seidlinger, and how are they coming up with these statistics? Because it seems like they're making it sound like people are dying from COVID, when actually they probably were already having underlying medical conditions and probably at the end of their life, and now they have COVID. So they had COVID, but they didn't die from it necessarily. Help us understand that.
Right. It's a fine line, and it's a judgment call. What we've done historically, and this is around the world, is we leave that judgment call up to the people that know the situation best. We leave it up to the medical examiner. We leave it up to the coroner. We leave it up to the family physician, because they know the health history, and they get to they decide ultimately what was the cause of death. And for the last 17 years, the cause of death would have been the pre-existing condition. Mm-hmm. Somebody had a chronic condition. Maybe it was type 2 diabetes that advanced to renal failure, and then they contracted, let's say, the flu, you know, right before they died. The flu might be looked at as an initiating factor, and that would be fair, but not a causative factor, because the only reason the flu had that level of effect in that situation would be because the person was already highly susceptible to it being a deadly thing. Any infection essentially would have killed them. And that's unfortunate, and believe me, I want to be very clear with the audience. I grieve and I mourn with everybody who's lost someone in 2019. I mean, the folks that we're not talking about are the people who've committed suicide this year out of despair.
And that's concerning, yes.
We're hearing that we're looking at record numbers this year for that, and the collateral damage for people who couldn't get the care they needed when we decided to just lock everything down and make everything about COVID. So any family out there that has lost someone, I'm there with you. I feel you. And I don't want you to take my sometimes chuckling on air as an indictment of that or a slight, because it's not. I feel very deeply with everybody what's going on. I just want to make sure that what we're doing is, if you're going to count something one way, you have to do it for everything.
Right.
COVID can't have its own rules. And what makes it worse, Stacey, is when you look at the law, and this is where we brought in attorneys to take a look at it. We published a paper. It's peer reviewed. It's been reviewed by attorneys and even a judge. It's called COVID-19 Data Collection, Comorbidity, and Federal Law, a Historical Retrospective. It was published in the IPAC journal, IPAK journal. And what's so interesting when we did that additional look into it, Stacey, was the CDC violated federal law to make these changes. They violated federal law to change how death certificates are reported. They violated federal law to, at least we allege they did, to adopt the CSTE's guidelines that allowed a person to be counted multiple times. And then you go and you look at what's happening at the Oregon Health Authority. And I was on a Zoom call with Dr. Seidlinger in either late April or early May. And I tell you this, I was begging him, and I mean this literally, I was begging him to include nutritional guidelines along with social distancing
yes.
and masking. I said to him explicitly, Stacey, I said to him, Dr. Seidlinger, I know everybody's concerned. This is our opportunity as Oregonians to lead the nation and show that we can be on top of this. We can be the trailblazers we really are on this issue. And he admitted to me, he said, and I can't quote him, of course, but he said to me, I admit we've done a terrible job in educating the public on nutrition. I said, well, Dr. Seidlinger, can I send you peer-reviewed research from the Linus Pauling Institute at Oregon State University on this issue? And he said, yes, I'll review it. I sent it to him. I sent it to his colleagues. I volunteered my time free. I said, I'll amass a team of volunteers to educate your staff on it. I know you don't have any nutritionists. I know you don't have any NDs on your advising team. Let me come in and help. He said, we'll consider it. I sent him all this peer-reviewed research. I have the emails to prove it. He never got back to me. I called him again and again. I requested more meetings with him. Crickets, just absolute silence. And what was so disturbing about it, Stacy, was that one of our main points was that Oregon was originally showing the number of people who had pre-existing conditions. They were originally separating that out and saying, hey, this percentage of the people who've died had pre-existing conditions. And then they just stopped doing it in their weekly reports. And now we fast forward to today, and what else have they stopped doing? They used to separate very clearly how many of the people that are positive were confirmed versus how many were presumptive, meaning we don't know. Now that's all just jumbled together again. They keep compromising the integrity of their data again and again, and they're not the only health department doing it. But I think the question for the public has to become, why would you do that? Why would you take a situation and make it less and less clear as to what's going on, make it less and less transparent? If the goal is for us to get through this in a good way, it just doesn't seem that. It seems like the goal is to buy time for this vaccine and not let people get back to their way of life. I as a physician, I got to say, I just completely reject this idea of a new normal. I'll believe in a new normal when the sun rises in the west. That's my opinion.
And the other part of that is, and you'll get a chuckle out of this, I've been saying all along, where's the chart that measures common sense?
My goodness.
Because even those of us that have not spent the years of going to school and studying and the research and working, in space science and all of those things, we kind of get it. The math doesn't add up. And it's interesting because I just had a comment, and I think this is a valid comment. If a person dies in the hospital of anything other than truly COVID, stop labeling it COVID. They have a friend who lost, whose uncle was died to lung cancer, and it was stamped COVID, and they had lung cancer. And so it's like they're manipulating the numbers to keep us in lockdown. And my question to you, Dr. Henry, is do you think the lockdowns are helping the transmission or hurting the transmission rate?
Well, you know what, that's a great question, and it's one we have analyzed, my team has analyzed, and again, we have over 10,000 hours in of research on this, so I would put what we've done and our knowledge base on this topic up against really anybody's, and I'm really proud of the work my team has done on this. And I think what we did was we first looked at Sweden, right? That was the easy one. Here's a whole country, and let's compare them to their neighbors. And what was very conclusive was that Sweden, which didn't do any lockdowns and didn't go into this really reactionary, draconian kind of thing that we've never done, let's quarantine healthy people for the first time in world history and shut down a whole economy, they did just fine. Their experience with this was no different than the countries that took extreme measures. So that was our first kind of thing of, maybe this isn't a good idea, right? And then we looked at six states in this country, the six states that didn't lock down, and we compared them next to their neighbors, which with similar population densities and things like that. And what we saw was that the states that locked down, the six comparative states that did lock down, were actually worse off in every single category we looked at, from transmission to fatalities across the board, than the states that didn't lock down. And that makes you go,
That does make you go, And I think
maybe these lockdowns aren't a good idea.
Maybe they're not a good idea. Well, we're going to continue the conversation after this break. We're having a great opportunity to look at the numbers, friends, and find out if the science and the math are lining up. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, friends. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann, hanging out with you. It's 7:50 in the morning. Want to say thank you to Dave and Paige Smith, Realty One Group, Willamette Valley. They're ready to go above and beyond to serve you and your real estate needs. Give them a call, 503-939-7099. It was fun to see Dave Smith. He stopped down at Safeway on Center Street over the weekend, helped us with our supermarket Saturday, and we had a great time catching up. He even brought me a coffee. That was fantastic. And it was an amazing event, friends. Thank you. Over 1,000 pounds of groceries were collected to help the Salvation Army. And we're looking for ways that we're going to connect with Salvation Army for Giving Tuesday. I'm so excited about this, and we'll be telling you a little bit more about that. On the phone line with me today is Dr. Henry, and we're having a great discussion regarding the numbers and how to track COVID appropriately. And that's my question to you. You know, if you had an opportunity, Dr. Henry, to be in that inner circle of, you talked already how you were hoping that we could have educated our Oregonians and even set the you know, bar for how to face a pandemic and how to personally do things in our lives to fight it in our own lives. If you could have set the way that we track this, what would that look like?
Well, first and foremost, it's let's make sure the same person isn't being counted multiple times, mm-hmm. right? And that's easy to do. You get the person's birthday, you get the person's gender, you get the person's identification, right? And it's super simple. It's all information that we collect as physicians anyway. And you just have a national database on how many times somebody was tested, if you needed to test them over and over again, so that you know that it's and not a new case every time they test positive. Because here's been the situation. A person tests positive, and they can't go back to work until they get a negative test. So they go back in a couple times a week mm-hmm. to get tested. Every single time they get tested, they're still positive. It counts as a new case.
Wow. Right?
So, you know, it's like, come on, that's ridiculous. I have friends who run emergency care facilities, and they're like, yeah, this is insane. This is ridiculous. We don't track anything other than was the test positive or negative, and then that goes into the national database system, and then it looks like the situation's exploding all over again when it's not. So,
well, and you, when you think about that, the question mm-hmm. I have, I mean, I've worked in the healthcare field and worked with pregnancy care centers, and you know, if we were mm-hmm. Doing tests on infectious disease, any other kind of like sexually transmitted diseases in the same mm-hmm. way, we would be in a real world of hurt. And it does mm-hmm. not make any common sense. And so now with the way that they're changing here in Oregon, the Oregon Health mm-hmm. Authority has said on Friday that they're going to drastically shift the way they report the tests. What kind of insight can you give to us on that?
Well, we got some wind through some leaked documents that we probably shouldn't have been able to get, but we got them. That says that they are basically going to be increasing what's called cycle threshold in terms of PCR testing. What that means is that they're going to increase the number of times they cycle a sample, and the more times you cycle a sample, the greater likelihood that it's going to come back positive.
Wow.
So what they're doing is they're cooking the books, and they're cooking the books not just in terms of the death certificates and letting the same person be counted over and over and over again, but they're also cooking the books by relying on a PCR test, which the CDC admits, which the manufacturers admit, and which the inventor of this test admitted cannot be used in a diagnostic way. You cannot use PCR testing to determine whether or not someone is contagious, but we continue to use it as the quote-unquote gold standard for determining whether somebody is COVID positive. And it's just, it's a farce. It's a medical farce. We're going to look back on this in a few years and go, how in the world did we let this happen and happen for so long? It's the antithesis of what medicine and what science is supposed to be. To be COVID legitimately infected by the SARS-CoV-2 virus, you have to have symptoms, you have to have a viral load, and you have to have antibody production. You have to have those three things in order to be COVID positive by medical standards for every other infectious disease. But COVID gets its own rules. Because why? It's 2020, and we said so, apparently.
I guess. And I want to shift focus a little bit, and I mm-hmm. you're just confirming what a lot of people know out there, that this is just not quite adding up. But as a doctor and those, and certainly a holistic doctor, talk to us a little bit about personal responsibility and what we can do. You know, when I look at even our commissioners, we're like, with this lockdown, you know, Colm Willis, our commissioner here, said, look, the math doesn't add up. COVID cases in Marion County, there's like none traced back to church, hardly anything traced back to churches, gyms, and restaurants. The math, it doesn't add up. How can people stay healthy, and where are you seeing the most transmission happening?
Well, good questions. First, I would rely on Linus Pauling Institute at Oregon State University. They have done a beautiful job of explaining natural adaptive immunity. Over 279 peer-reviewed references that extol the importance of vitamin D, of vitamin A, of zinc, of vitamin C. I don't know if I said that already. Of and especially something that's really unique for this, quercetin. Something that you get with blueberries. So maybe having some fresh organic blueberries every day, in addition to a little bit of vitamin D and a little bit of zinc and a little bit of vitamin A, and something miraculous happens. Our body works like it's supposed to work. Pretty cool, right? Pretty.
And stay away from the Cheetos.
Right, exactly. Cheetos, no good. Now, something else folks can do that I really like is fresh pressed garlic. You can take a garlic clove, press it, let it sit for about 15 minutes, and then it reaches full potency. And garlic is, wow, so incredibly caustic, so incredibly immunosupportive for people who are worried about this. It's something I actually have my older patients, including my father, taking on a daily basis. Two cloves of garlic, fresh pressed, let them sit for 15 minutes, put it in your body. And then you just, now don't chew it because it'll burn your mouth. But just put it on your tongue and take a quick swig of some juice, and it's in your body and you're good to go.
Incredible.
So there's so much we can do. There's so literally so much we can do. But I think what's so important for us is to rely on true science, not fraudulent data that has been manipulated, but listen to the people who don't have a vested interest in this, because there's plenty of doctors and scientists out there who are not worried about this and have confirmation that they are crushing it in their medical setting with their patient base who come in with COVID. I mean, it's COVID is not a death sentence. It's
right.
Not. And I think that's the message to get out to people. Empower your immune system with good nutrition. Talk to your doctors and ask about nutrition and ask about what alternatives you can do, and trust common sense.
Yes. Dr. Henry, how do people get a hold of you or find out more information? What's the best way?
The best way is to send us right now an email. We're coming online very soon with the website, but send us an email, allconcernedcitizens@protonmail.com. That's allconcernedcitizens, one word, @protonmail.com. We'll be happy to inform you.
And we'll put the link up on our Facebook page and on our podcast. Share this podcast with your friends. And thank you, Dr. Henry, so much. We're going to have you in the studio real soon, and we'll talk more about health and nutrition, okay?
I'd love to, Stacey, and thank you so much for having me.
Have a fantastic day and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. So glad to have you tuned in this morning. Hour two, we're going to have Terry in the studio, and we're going to go over some of the national news hitting the headlines. We'll be back after this. Remember, over, under, around, or through, no matter what you're facing today, friends, you're an overcomer.